take you to the world headquarters of Thinking Real Estate with Laura Dwyer Schletke, Bill Schletke. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this is Black History Month, and I thought we would participate in Black History Month by talking about real estate and how it has evolved over the years. So the next step, so we'll do that throughout February, deal with certain issues that have affected black people in real estate.
Well, the problem
is that discrimination, despite the adoption of things like the Federal Fair Housing Act in 1968, discrimination continues to be rampant. And so Laura and I thought that since this is Black History Month, this would be a good month in the sessions that we have on Monday morning to try and educate people who are listening to the fact that this discrimination still takes place, and that we all should play a part in trying to eliminate it. It's really difficult. I mean, it's really, really difficult because of the history of discrimination, the participation in discrimination by the federal government, by lending institutions, by realtors, sellers, appraisers. It's mind-boggling.
It's quite interesting how it even happened. I mean, if you read about it, you just wonder. I shake my head and think, how could that even possibly be the case? You know, when HUD wouldn't do lending if you were black. I mean, that wouldn't even be thought of today, but.
Well. This is just a random article that I picked up when I was pulling materials for the conversation today and the next couple of weeks. Get a load of this. This is an incident that just happened this last summer. Abina and Alex Horton wanted to take advantage of low home finance rates brought on by the coronavirus or crisis. So in June, they took the first step in that process, welcoming a home appraiser into their four-bedroom, four-bath ranch-style house in Jacksonville, Florida. The Hortons live just minutes from the Ortega River in a predominantly white neighborhood of 1950s homes that tend to sell for $350,000 to $550,000. They had expected their home to appraise for around $450,000, but the appraiser felt differently, assigning a value of $330,000. Ms. Horton, who is black, immediately suspected discrimination. The couple's bank agreed that the value was off and ordered a second appraisal, but before the new appraiser could arrive, Ms. Horton, a lawyer, began an experiment. She took down all family photos off the mantle. Instead, she hung up a series of oil paintings by Mr. Horton, who is white, and his grandparents that had been in storage. Books by Zora Neale Hurston and Toni Morrison, black authors, were taken off the shelves, and holiday photo cards were sent by friends were edited so that only those showing white families were left on display. On the day of the appraisal, Ms. Horton took the couple's six-year-old son on a shopping trip to Target and left Mr. Horton alone at home to answer the door. The new appraiser gave their home a value of $465,000, a more than 40% increase from the first appraisal. So people who think that discrimination does not take place today are absolutely wrong. This is a very common example.
We know.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, the stories that you hear of these incidences are horrifying. Okay? And they continue to create problems for black people throughout the United States who are trying to raise themselves up in terms of building what really is the major asset for most families is equity in the home. And home appraisers. I mean, here's an appraiser. Home appraisers are bound by the Fair Housing Act of 1968. They're prohibited from discriminating based on race, religion, national origin, gender, marital status, etc. They can lose their license or even face prison time if they're found to produce a discriminatory appraisal.
Well, I find it.
How do they get away with it, Bill?
I mean,
sometimes they don't, because you can file a complaint with the licensing bureau in the state where the discrimination is taking place. For example, appraisers here in the state of Michigan are regulated by Article 26 of the Occupational Code, and it's also a violation of the federal and state law, for which there are significant penalties. There's even criminal penalties if, in fact, there's deliberate discrimination in violation of federal and state criminal provisions prohibiting discrimination.
Well, and I don't understand how an appraiser could, you know, could even discriminate. I get that they probably did in that, but, you know, you're supposed to be just using the facts, right? And appraisals are simply facts. Houses that had sold in the neighborhood, or if there aren't any in that particular neighborhood, finding like-type neighborhoods. And I, you know, I just find it even harder, how it could be harder to discriminate in an appraisal. It's a fascinating
it's
story.
Systemic.
So what happened to the appraiser?
It's systemic, isn't it, Bill?
Yes, very much so. And I mean, it dates all the way back to the dates of to the era of slavery, and despite emancipation, the continued discriminatory practices by not just, as I say, individuals, but by institutions. I mean, we don't have to go any farther than what used to be what's called redlining, which is illegal, which was a practice, which is still a practice by some lenders who refuse to lend to provide home mortgages in certain communities, black communities. It used to be formally redlining, where they actually had maps that said we don't lend within this particular area.
I found a map for Jackson in 1940. It's either 40 or 41, and they used color. They color coded the neighborhoods. So basically, the Queens area and Essex Heights was blue, and I think it was blue or green. Maybe it's green. Whatever the color was, and they would without a doubt lend there. And then the next color was, Lower Essex Heights all the way up to maybe the Bob Evans, roughly, and that would be the next color. And there, it makes statements less likely to decline, but not as favorable as the other group. And then it went to yellow, and then it went to a red. So it's very interesting to see what those where those neighborhoods were.
Well, the same thing is true, Greg, of realtors. The realtor. Let me just give you an example. Late November, the National Association of Realtors issued a formal apology for the systemic discrimination that its members and its organization had displayed for years and years. Let me just read you a quote here from, I don't know if this was the president of the association or not. This is just a matter of a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
What realtors did was an outrage to our morals and our ideals, Charlie Oppler said Thursday during a virtual fair housing summit hosted by the National Association of Realtors. It was a betrayal of our commitment to fairness and equality. It was the first time the association with 1.4 million members, get a load of that, 1.4 million members, has apologized for its role in fomenting housing discrimination, a legacy that has contributed to widening economic and racial inequality. The home ownership rate among black Americans was 46% as of September 30. Get a load of this statistic. The home ownership rate among black Americans was 46% as of September 30, compared with 67% for all U.S. households and 76% for whites, the Census Bureau data show. The national, just to give you a little bit of historical background here, the National Association of Realtors opposed passage of the Fair Housing Act in 1968 and allowed exclusion of members from the association based on race and gender. The article goes on to talk about discrimination was part of systemic residential racial desegregation led by the federal government and supported by the U.S. banking system through practices like redlining.
Everybody was complicit in it, really.
Very, very much so. And continues. There still continues to be rampant discrimination. I mean, I just pulled up another one. This is, an investigation of discrimination on Long Island in New York.
That one's very interesting. That was a 3-year process where they did testing over a 3-year period of time in Long Island. They call it the Long Island Divide. And there's videos of realtors saying different things to a white buyer versus a black buyer or a Hispanic, or it's a very fascinating documentary. If anybody wants to Google it, they could Google the Long Island Divide and find some interesting. It's just fascinating.
Well, the Justice Department files suit, the local governmental state agencies file suit, the Fair Housing Commission in Detroit sponsors lawyers who undertake actions on behalf of individuals who claim discrimination. I'm just sitting here at my computer. Here's an article, September 30, 2020. The Department of Justice announced today that it's filed a lawsuit against Village Realty of Staten Island Limited and Dennis Donovan, a sales and former real estate agent at Village Realty, alleging discrimination against African Americans in violation of the Fair Housing Act when offering housing units for rent. What they would do, and the way the Justice Department discovered the discrimination, is they sent in a black couple inquire about the availability of the rental housing. They were treated in a particular fashion. Then they would send in white testers, white couple, who were then treated. They were offered discounts, offered greater availability of the rental housing. So, in fact, it was easy to prove through the testing process that the realty agency, that the agency and the agent were discriminating on the basis of race. Anyway, that's just one instance, and that's simply an individual. Has nothing to do with the action of the government, the action of the appraiser, the action of the lender. This is just an individual who, on his own, says, we prefer that we have only whites in this particular housing development. Again,
in Detroit, there was a wall built. A developer wanted to take a tract of land and build a housing development for white people, and the lending institution declined it because right next door was a black neighborhood. So his proposal to the bank was, well, let me build a 6-foot-high, 1-foot-wide, and 1/2-mile-long wall. To divide the two neighborhoods.
No. When was this?
This was in the 60s, I believe.
Okay. I was going to say, hopefully nothing like that would happen now.
No. Well, it's Black History Month, right? So,
right.
And we were talking about appraisers and lending institutions, so I wanted to stay along the same line. And once he made that proposal, the lending institution said, fine. And you can Google it now. The Wallace now has murals along it, and it's become a tourist attraction. How bizarre is that, to build a concrete wall in order to divide the two, the white versus black?
Bill, we don't have much time, but it sounds like the remedy is kind of painful, cumbersome. I don't know. Do people want to get into a lawsuit over this? I mean, they probably.
I would say not. I would hope not.
Well,
I would hope that awareness is the first.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the buyer.
Yeah, let me just tell you what is most worrisome to me, Greg, is the rise of white supremacy, the white supremacist movement, which has found a voice over the last 4 years, and that creates a real problem, because I've been teaching fair housing since the 1970s, since the adoption of the 1968
right.
Fair Housing Act, and I will tell you that I've always thought that education is the way to do it. I educate lawyers and I educate real estate brokers and agents and banks to tell them, look, you know, you have a moral obligation to not discriminate against these protected classifications of individuals, including blacks. So you educate them, but then you also, that's the carrot, you know, you're going to be a morally good person. The other one is the stick, which is federal, state, and local law prohibits discrimination, and there are penalties for discriminating. You know, we hope that between those two that we actually can accomplish or reach a society in which there is not this systemic discrimination. But sometimes I'm so pessimistic about it, Greg, and I apologize for that. It is Monday morning. Ask me Friday, and I'll probably be a little more optimistic about it. But I've been, like I said, I've been educating the people in the real estate industry for over 40 years. And, well, there's progress. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I mean, there's been tremendous progress over that time, but it still exists. And I just, I'd like to figure out a way to somehow get us to a point where the discrimination is gone, where we're all living in a society of equality, where we can actually provide blacks, Hispanics, everybody with the same opportunities that we've had as whites with respect to housing. Anyway.
Laura, what are you selling?
I am selling a three-bedroom, two-bath home on Carlton 273-9 with a large pole barn. Makes you feel like you're in the country, but you're close to everything. It's a great floor plan. And then on St. Clair, I've got another three-bedroom, two-bath home with a main floor laundry, four-car detached garage, extras, a large fenced-in backyard, a patio. Everything is in that house is to the extreme in quality and convenience. So that one is $184,900. I'd love to help you with your real estate needs. So if you're thinking of buying or selling, you should be thinking real estate. Call Laura Dwyer-Schlechte, 780-3800.